everything is in Christ.
God bless you.
For a second.
Amen. All in all forever, only Christ I sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything.
Amen. Is Christ everything to you? Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful song, Lord, penned by someone, Lord, that was in the process of growth and just seeing the process happen, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, as we sing this, Lord, to see in our own lives that, Lord, you've brought us from glory to glory, Lord. You're delivering us from our old carnal nature, Lord, into the wonderful blessing, Lord, of your image. What a wonderful blessing it is, Lord. We just commit this service in your hands, Lord. Be glorified. Speak to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're with us. Thank you that you have something for each one, from the oldest to the youngest, this evening. I pray, Lord, that you just bring a deep thirst, Lord, in each one of our hearts, Lord. Just stir us up, Lord. Just if there's any dullness of hearing, Lord, or if there's any lack of kindling of the Spirit in our hearts, Lord, I pray that you just stir us up, Lord, and provoke us to good works, Lord. And, Lord, just rise us up, Lord, in you, Father, one more day, Father, that we may live for you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this service in your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. It's been so long, Brother Don. I feel almost like a stranger. It's been way too long. Good to see you. Good to see you all. Thank you, musicians. Love the cello, love the saxophone, love the different instruments. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Derek, for leading songs. Send greetings from the saints in Wahpeton. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you also for your prayers for this service. Brother Greg, thanks for setting out a announcement ahead of time. It's amazing. And you know what I'm talking about, those that minister, is sometimes you just are battling all the way up to the moment that you come out. But for some reason, when it's announced ahead of time, I feel like sometimes we can pray more specifically for that person. And I feel a lot of times I feel the prayers are all, I'm not battling as much to enter in, because each one of you are lifting me up as I'm going before the throne, or lifting up each minister. So I really appreciate that. Sometimes I've prayed for someone that's not even preaching before, you know, for 5 days, and then all of a sudden, oh, someone else is preaching. So, but I know the Lord's grace is enough. Can you hear me all right, Brother Greg? Okay, wonderful. I'd like to take a thought this evening of pillars in the house of my God. And just something, you know how it is when you're just striving and saying, Lord, what is your purpose? What are you doing? And now just, you know, helping out, you know, yoked with Brother Tim and the others in Wahpeton, I'm just saying, Lord, what is your purpose? What are you doing? You know, what are you wanting? And just been really just opening up to me, you know, that God is making us pillars in the house of our God. And not only us, but through us. It's Peter, to your coworker, she's leaning on you, for Christ that is in you, that is a pillar. She couldn't have gone into anybody else's office, perhaps at work, to just really lean on for strength, because she knew, she could sense that was who she could come to for help. And I just think about that, how that they can see that there's a rock in us. There's that something that's unmovable in us. And I think we take it for granted, but it's such a wonderful thing. So let's just all stand, and we'll just read the text. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. This is the scripture for the overcomer. Are you an overcomer tonight? Amen. You might not feel like an overcomer, but you are in Him, and we don't speak off of our feelings. We speak off of what we know is true, what God said about us. We know this is speaking about the church in Philadelphia, but it's also to us as well, because this is a bride scripture. And we're going to go back to verse 10, because there's something so wonderful in this. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We know that's a crown, an overcoming crown. It's a crown of victory. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Hallelujah. This is David's ultimate desire right there. We're going to get into. And the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, that's the bride, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon it my new name. Him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, please quicken this to us, Lord. Open our eyes of understanding, Lord, as, Lord, you break the bread of life to us this evening. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So, you know me, I'm going to dive into the word pillar. And there's something so wonderful about the word pillar, so many meanings to it. And what is the purpose of tonight? What are we trying to understand? We're trying to understand what he's meaning in the scripture, what is a pillar, and because it's talking about us, we are pillars. Derek, you're a pillar. You think about it. I remember Brother Ed Abisko. He said there was a brother in the church. Never preached, never, he didn't have a gift of music or even to play an instrument, but he was in church for 50, 60 years, just a wonderful sainted man, and everyone felt his absence so strongly, and it was, I don't remember who it was, but I remember Brother Eddie talking about it, Sister Laura, I can't remember the name of the man, and, but he says, but he was there. He was a pillar in the church, and it showed God's faithfulness that could bring him there every Sunday and Wednesday night in prayer meeting and everything. He was there, and that's a pillar, and that's something that's so wonderful. If each one of us were in and out of church, back and forth, and half the church was gone all the time, we would see again a symbol of someone that's not a pillar. But that's, we know that that's not because of what we can do, but it's because of God's faithfulness. So, we look in the scripture. Can you say, all hear me? Okay, I'm getting used to this mic still. In the scripture, if you look through the different scriptures on pillars, a pillar can mean, look what the Lord has done for us. You look at when they crossed the Jordan. They set up a pillar, or they set up 12 stones, you know, to let the children know. Maybe there was a child that was going to be born the next day, and they said, oh, they missed it. They missed what God had done, the dividing of the waters. How will they know what that God had? Can you imagine, Lilia, being there and seeing the waters part, and you're wondering if the waters are going to part, and the priests have got the ark, and they're going, and all of a sudden the water parts. And you say, oh my, and you call your friends and say, look what the Lord is doing. And how can we remember this? Because they didn't have iPhones back then. They didn't have any phones. So they had to have a memorial to remember something. And so we know that Joshua said, set up 12 stones as a memorial of what the Lord has done here. And tell your children, see those stones out in the middle of the Jordan? How did they get there? We put them there. Oh, this raging river, these great large stones. or sometimes it was a raging river, and that they'd say, we put them there. Your uncle put that there. How did he put it there? Does he swim out there? No, it was dry land. My, what a thing to think of. And that would be a pillar as look what the Lord has done. How many can say, if we can just identify with each one of these, look what the Lord has done, each one of you. You are a pillar. How did he do it? But he did it. I just think of, you know, Brother Don, your testimony, each one of your testimony, how it, something, God made something wonderful of our lives. Look what the Lord has done. Of course, then there's a bad testimony. We see Lot's wife and how, remember how she was turned into a pillar of salt, Eliana. That would be such a, you know, versus, you know, Mary, all people shall call me blessed. She was a pillar. She was a pillar of that people would remember as someone that yielded themselves to God to bear to be an incubator for the Savior of the world. And how you look at Lot's wife, and it says, remember how the scripture says, remember Lot's wife, and how that she was turned into a pillar of salt, and how that it was such a bad testimony, and that memorial of that. And it's interesting because it wasn't a pillar of granite. It was something that could erode. It couldn't even symbolize something that would endure forever. Because a pillar in the house of my God will be there forever. It's something that's eternal. And we see it's the house of God, a place of his visitation. We can go back. I'm just going to overview a little bit if that's all right. For time's sake. You look at when Jacob had the dream when he was out in a strange land and how that he saw the angels descending and ascending, and then the Lord spoke to him and gave him his promise. And what did he do? He set up the stone he was sleeping on and poured oil on it as a pillar. So remember, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is a place of remembrance. And to think about that, you and I are the house of God. Wow, what a wonderful thing. There's so many neat meanings with that. We can't minimize it. It's a supernatural symbol that God is leading. You look at the pillar of fire. Why was it called a pillar of fire? Because something that God signified, it was a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Something that was erected to say that God is with us. He's here. He's here tonight. Each of you being here is a pillar, is remembering people know that God is with us. You know, it's just, that's wonderful. A pillar is a post that upholds and supports. So we say, oh, so-and-so, they're a pillar to this church, as we kind of talked about with that brother. And I think we forget what, growing up, you think about pillars in the church and you don't think much about it, but when you're becoming into that place of strength and holding up things and responsibilities in the church, it's a lot more difficult now that you're doing it. And it's not an administrative pillar only. You just think about how each one of us are called. You know, it says, the scripture says, come ye tarry for one another. I just love that, don't you? You know, that we would tarry, that we'd say, well, you know, I got what I needed to be strengthened as a pillar. I'm going to go out and share it with the world. But there might be someone else, like the scripture says, you know, hold up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Some aren't there yet for us to take that time and say, oh, maybe I can reach over to this brother, this sister in service and see how I can strengthen them. And we'll go into that a little bit because that goes into the word edify, which is to build up. And that's where we get the word edifice, is something that we build up, we lift up, and we edify ourselves and we edify each other. We see in Revelations 3:20, it's Brother Bam talks about it as a stone in the foundation. It's not just a pillar sticking up out of, you know, like a spindle necessarily. It's you being a part of that foundation. I remember hearing something on our brother preached on the Great Pyramid, how he says, you know, we're like, because remember how he's the cornerstone, he's the headstone, and we're in that building of God, how that we're each place, imagine we're in that pyramid. And they say the reason why the pyramid has lasted so long is because each stone is different. Each stone is placed in there, in this great pillar, this great monument. And it actually makes it earthquake proof because it's every joint supplieth, everything is just set perfect. And I think that's how, you know, you hear about columns breaking, but yet what the kind of pillar we are in Christ is that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. But when you're in Christ as a pillar in Christ, you're earthquake proof. Amen. And people go, you know, we hear stories like Brother Peter where people are shaken and they're looking for someone that's not shaken. It's a pillar is the bride, not coming or going. A pillar doesn't move. I think so much we minimize pillars because you'll look in the setting and you'll see this great column behind somebody. And it's just there. And we don't realize it's bearing the whole support of the temple. If you've watched any of the Bible movies and you'll see them in the temple, you don't think anything about the pillars. And yet they're holding the very structure up. They're holding the covering up. And yet in their absence, there would be no temple. We know the scripture David says, you know, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that would I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And to do what? To just be there, but to behold his beauty, to inquire in his temple, to be in that presence. It's that, what a pinnacle of being in a place where you're not going in or out. We don't have to leave anymore. And, I was thinking about the antithesis to this. It's, you know, how it says, in the parable of the marriage supper of the Lamb, how it says those will be cast out and they'll be wailing, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, cast out into the outer darkness. And there's a quote where Brother Branham talks about. He says it was a self-fulfilling thing because through their life they'd cast themselves into outer darkness. All their life they'd gnash their teeth at the Word of God. So it would be self-evident that their ultimate destruction would be that, be outer darkness and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And for us, you know, being edifying ourselves as Jude 1:20 says about building ourselves up on our holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And then how many times it will say, what we'll get into about edifying one another, is that we're doing that all the time. Well, then it's just self-evident that we would be that forever if that's what our life is building one another up. And I just think that that's really the Lord's heart that just keeps coming back to me, is just, how can I be, Lord, let me build myself up. Lord, build me up, Lord, by praying in the Spirit, by whatever I need to do, Lord, to yield so that I can build you up, so I can build each one of you up. That's my heart. Because I was thinking about, even at Wahpeton, I was thinking about, you know, how can I be strong believer for these believers? Some are in and out of church, and they'll be struggling even to make it to church. And I'm thinking, how can I be a pillar to show them and to hold them up and to hold them up and to hold them up? And it, for the last 5 or 6 years, it's been just like, oh, Lord, how can I hold these people up? But I thought, well, what about if I was to sow into them everything Christ is, to build them up to be pillars? So now they can be holding up others. And I think, you know, that's that part of it. I remember Dad saying before he passed on, and he was saying, you know, Stephen, he's talking about his heart and health and different things. And he says, you know, I've purposefully pulled back from roles in the church because I need others to rise up and I need to build them up. And it's something on the line of what he said. And that is so important for these young saints. And I think about, you know, the young men of the church, you know, getting up to read a scripture, or all the you know, the young ladies singing a song, or, you know, playing an instrument. All those things are so wonderful that we let them do. I think us as musicians, I know for me, I want to get on the piano. I want to be the one on the piano. And to let others get in there so that they can be built up, and to be those little pillars coming up as well. This is from Philadelphian Church Age. Pillar. A pillar or a foundation. Foundation in the temple of the house, or the house of God, the temple of my God. It's a pillar, the foundation. These are those that took the word which they heard and went back to the foundation. He that overcometh all these synagogues of Satan, keep himself free and look straight to the gate. I'll make him a pillar. I'll put him back in the foundation of my word, in the house of my God. Oh my. I'll put him right there in that pillar, in the foundation where you stay, right in the word. Amen. I like that, brother. It's good. I may act funny, but I feel good. What is that? If he is a pillar, he ain't going out no more. He is the bride. That's right. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about this, you know, you hear the phrase, a post of duty, you know, how we're training these young people in Wahpeton to have a post of duty. And, you know, sometimes they'll be like me with Derek many years ago, where I would say, Derek, I'm running late. And he'd say, Stephen, you need to be at your post of duty, right? A pillar can't be late to hold up the house. So they have some practical applications as well, and how that a post, you know, is a pillar. It's something to hold up, to be a support. We see examples in the scripture. This is in Galatians 2. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So, and a support also, in the spiritual sense, is we're an upholder of the truth on the job, at home, in the homeschool meetings, wherever we are, to be an upholder of the truth, because it's this wishy-washy Christian environment that we live in, that we just can, you know, do whatever, but yet we are to stand, as the scripture says, having done all, stand. Isaiah 60, you know, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Stand erect as a pillar. You know, it's all right to speak in tongues if we're praying, because 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So that can be something to build you up. Now, it's not the whole thing, right? But that can even be an edifying of yourself, you know, right along with Jude, verse 20. But now this is where we go to others. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. So this is something that's wonderful, is that to me, what I'm hearing Paul say is that he's saying, I would that ye build yourselves up. You edify yourselves, but I would rather that you build up the whole church. I think, that's really what he's saying in there, is that he's not just saying edify yourself. Don't build yourself up. Don't say, Lord, don't come to church saying, Lord, I just need to be built up in you. How can I build up others? And I know each one of you so much have built me up. I just am, I'm a living testimony of that. How many times each one of you have come up and challenged me. And there's so many different ways that we can build each other up. And we see this as we go into verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? So there's different ways we can build each other up right there. And it goes back to love, right? This is the message. You know what the message is? 1 John 3, verses 10 and 11. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And I think that that's our, we know that that's our motivation for building each other up. We build upward. We don't tear down. I think so many times in the past, you know, I've been so carnal in my life, and you know, it's so easy to puff yourself up by thinking, you know, as the parable said, you know, the one says, "Oh, thank God that I've finally gotten over that," like that brother has. Oh, shame for us to not think that, but to think instead, "Lord, help me that I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me. I'm so wretched." For where would we be without God building us up? And without each one of you building me up. First Corinthians 10. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know how many times I tear down myself by not building up myself on my most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Sometimes I just think too much, you know, rather than praying in the Spirit, taking that time to, rather than questioning, just get on my knees and say, "Lord, may I pray in your Spirit to build me up." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." So it's to comfort us. Romans 15, verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification." And sometimes there's sharpness as well. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10, "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction." So, you know, so many times that we think we just have to just tear someone up, cut them up to get them to be built up. But that's, isn't it amazing how carnal, you know, that we can feel, you know, if we can say, I just need to take David down a notch. You know, I'm going to show him a thing or two. But no, we're to build each other up. You know, even how Paul said, you know, it sounds like he was in such righteous indignation that he says, you know, it's better I should write a letter to you, because if I was present, I would be use such sharpness. But it's just like Brother Bram would say so many times, he'd say, "You just get done, just driving it home," right? And then he'd say, "No," because you know he's perceived their thought. And he would say, "No, you know I love you. You know, and I wouldn't say that to hurt you." But what was he doing? You can't create pillars out of mush. You got to have it on the Word of God. This is from the exposition of the seven church ages, the Philadelphian church age. "Oh, we have a word for us all at this time. It's hold fast, persevere, don't give up, put on the whole armor of God, use every weapon." What are we seeing a picture of? Someone who's steadfast, unmovable, a pillar. "Use every gift at our disposal and look ahead with joy, because we are going to be crowned by him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Again, he's alluding to the verse before our text about hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What it, and we know that word Stephanos means a crown of victory. And that's an overcoming crown. Now, he is not only giving crowns, but he says that these in the bride will be made pillars in the temple of God. But what is the temple of God? Jesus spoke of his body as being the temple. It was. It was the temple of God. But now that we are his body, the true church is the temple of God by the Holy Ghost within us. You, each one of you, having the Holy Ghost in you, the temple of God. Now he is going to make the overcomer a pillar in that temple. But what is a pillar? A pillar is actually a part of the foundation, for it holds up the superstructure. Praise God, that puts the overcomer right in with the apostles and the prophets, for it says in Ephesians 2:19 and 20 through 22, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." My, think about that. Each one of us, lively stones, we're all a part of the temple. Not just, we're just one little temple. We're all stones of that temple. What a picture. Just to think about that. I mean, we can't understand. If we could just see David when he was saying that, writing that verse of one thing I desire. Maybe he was staring into the fire like so many scriptures in the Psalms. One thing I desire, that I could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just to be that stone built into the temple of God. You know, we think about all the reasons why we want to be built into the house of the Lord forever, that we may not come up. We don't want to be away from his presence. And what's amazing is that this, the way that Brother Branham's explaining this, and the scripture explains it, it's that we're set in there with each other. You know, like it says, you know, admonish one another daily, lest we fall into the temptation and the seed of the deceptiveness of sin, and how that when we're these stones that are close to each other, you know, the closer pillars are to each other, the less likely the building will fall over, right? If you see, you go into a building in a third world country, you sometimes wonder if it's up to code, because if things are a little bit farther apart, things are a little bit not quite right. But when you see lots of columns, lots of pillars, you know, oh, this is a safe building to be in. And you think about each one of us, if we can just be close to each other in Christ, building each other up, knowing that we need each other for support in Christ. He goes on. Yes, that verse in 22 says that we are builded together with them. Everything went through the door, Jesus, and is a part of that body or temple. Now when God puts a man in the temple as a pillar and makes him a part of that foundation group, what is he doing? He is giving him the revelation of the word and of himself, because that is exactly what the apostles and the prophets had. Matthew 16:17, there he is in the word, there he stands. No one can get him out. Amen. That's wonderful. The word actually means, in Greek, the act of building or building up. So it's actually a verb word. For the word edify. It's this act of building. The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. So that we could promote each other's Christian growth. in Christ. You know, how can we do that? You know, just to think about, you know, that one time the Lord put on my heart to preach on submit yourselves one to another. There's so many things that are so vulnerable in being built up by someone else, because it's saying, I'm weak here. I'm going to crumble and fall. I don't know if you've seen some of these old pillars. I was looking at Brother Don, these beautiful granite pillars, and how that they've gotten a crack in one side, and they have to score out and take out a big chunk and then put a whole big wedge in there. And just to think how that we need to build each other up. We're in this still, this body, and how many times do I need my thinking changed, or I need to have something where I have a weakness. And I'm just so thankful for so many brothers have come alongside me. But it took me being able to say, and took each one of you being able to say, I have a need. I need to be built up. I have trouble asking for help. I don't know about you, but that's a really hard place for me to submit myself sometimes, to say, I need help. I cannot figure it out. I don't know what this means in Scripture, or I don't know how to overcome this. Because remember, this is a Scripture. Pillars are overcomers. So if you're not overcoming, you need help to be an overcomer. And that comes from building up yourself, having another edify you, to be that strong pillar in the house of God. Amen. Last verse. 1 Timothy. Did we do this one right? Verse 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I'm just going to go there. He's writing a letter here, and he's saying in verse 14, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You are the pillars and the ground of truth with God in you. But what's amazing is that because we have to be locked in to the cornerstone, Christ. We have to be locked into the revealed word, the open book, every scripture, a complete stone of revelation, that what we have in this day is so wonderful, you know, because we all rub shoulders with believers that they don't believe in the whole Bible. They have a kind of a amalgamated half stone, half wood, half stubble idea. Their building materials is not the Word of God. It's not built upon this rock. Well, I build my church the rock of revelation of Jesus Christ, of all that He is, from Genesis to Revelations. And I want you to, each one of you, when you wake up in the morning, to look at yourselves in the mirror and to say, Lord, may I be a pillar today for somebody. May I not forget how privileged I am that I have the open word, the open book, to be a pillar that's not cracked and crumbling because I'm living a KTIS religion, that I'm living a Grace Church religion, but that people can come to me, and because I'm not shaken, I'm not moved, I'm unmovable, that I'm holding fast to what I have, then no man take my crown. That I am an overcomer, and that God is making me a pillar in the house of my God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you're building us up, Lord. Lord, your strength is so perfect, Lord, in our weakness, Lord. Help us, oh God, to let you build us to abound more and more. Father, to be that temple of the Lord, to be set apart, Lord. Just thinking, Lord, of the different times in history and in biblical times, Lord, that how that they would cut out this stone, this one piece column to support, Lord, and how that you're cutting us, Lord, out of that the building materials, Lord, out of that we're a part of you, Lord. We're a part of Christ, who is that rock, Lord. Lord, and we want everything else to be shaken, Lord, out of us, Lord. So, Lord, that we don't give our own ideas, Lord, that we don't try to be our own ideas, Lord, that we would be that overcomer, Lord, overcoming self, overcoming this world. I just pray, Father, that everyone is encouraged tonight, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Lord, that we have that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, and how you said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Lord, you let us know the end of the story, Lord. I just pray, Father, that each one would go in the joy of the Lord and be strengthened, Father, tonight. We just commit each one into your hands now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Musicians, if you come. Does anybody have a song? Noah. 3:15. Amen. Keep on the firing line. Can we sit down for this one? I don't think so. We better. Derek. We'll see you at the end of the song. Let's all stand for this one. If you'd like, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. That's the overcoming song right there. Oh, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, keep on the firing line. Life is dangerous for them we must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. For you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win, oh God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, God will only use a soldier he can't trust. Keep on the firing line. Wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Pray you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you should win for God and the right, oh, keep on the firing line. Oh, when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad.
Oh, keep on the fire in line. Keep on the fire in line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the fire in line. Oh, you must fight, evade, against all evil, never run nor even lag behind. If you should win for God and the right, oh, keep on the fire in line.
Amen. You're going to keep on the fire in line? Amen. Praise God. Peter, would you just close this in a word of prayer?
Christian, they follow, Lord, again, we're so grateful tonight, Lord, for meeting with us, Lord, and for your word, Father. Lord, you're building us up and changing us, Lord, into your image, Father. And we're so grateful for your word, for you opening our eyes and our understanding, Father. Lord, as the days are so evil, Father, just pray that you continue to press upon us, Lord. Just draw us ever so close to you. Lord, we just lift up the needs of the saints again. I ask that you would just continue to work in each heart and life, each situation, Father, those that we come in contact with, Father. And just ask, Lord, that you would just always put people in our paths, Father, that we could shed forth your gospel. Yes. Lord, you, Father.
Yes, Father.
Just be with each one now as we go our separate ways. May you just give us each one traveling mercies, Father. Strengthen each one. Now we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. God bless each one of you. Go in the power and strength of the Lord. As we sing that chorus one more time, keep on the fire in line.
Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you should win for God and the right, just keep on the fire in line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil.